So in a moment, I'm going to invite you to join with me in doing a bit of chanting, just to raise the energy a bit. But first, I just wanted to raise the question of why do we practice? And what brings us to practice? And I spoke a bit about that this morning, in terms of that intuition that this might be beneficial. But I think it's an important question to come back to. You know, it might be very simple, just to have more ease, to have more equanimity in our lives, to have a kinder heart, to be more compassionate, to be happier. These are truly worthy goals. And beyond those goals, or even hidden within them, is something else, and I think it's that glimpse that we've had that brings us to practice, the glimpse that there is a possibility of peace, of real peace in our lives, and a way to embody that peace and offer it to others. And that's the freedom of mind that comes through continuity of practice and insight and liberation. So one of our teachers is Steve Armstrong, and his teacher, Utejaniya, has written a beautiful book you might want to look at. It's called When Awareness Becomes Natural. And he's a very unorthodox teacher in some ways, because he recommends bringing the practice into every aspect of your life. And he doesn't advocate for walking slowly or being in silence, but really encourages this continuity of attention to mental states, and particularly to the defilements, these habit patterns of greed and grasping and aversion and delusion. And he says very clearly, wisdom is what this practice is about, because wisdom is what frees the mind. Wisdom is what frees the mind. And we've all had those experiences of suddenly, oh yeah, if I do that, then that, and that's not a good idea. You know, wisdom is understanding, is having a broader view, a broader context, and recognizing cause and effect. So, Steve Armstrong was telling us how once he asked his teacher, Joseph Goldstein, I might not have the story right, but he asked his teacher, Joseph, about delusion. How do you recognize delusion in the mind? And Joseph said, basically, any time there's a story in which me is present, I. So every plan and project, every memory, I mean, they're all valid in a relative sense, but they all reinforce a sense of self. Just like that long poem I read you, I prefer, I prefer, I prefer, I prefer. So when we solidify around a sense of self, I'm like this, I need this, I want this. That, in a sense, you know, that's self-understanding, that's self-knowing, but it also has this capacity to bring suffering when circumstances don't support that view of ourselves. I'll share a story with you, and it's quite humbling. So I recently attended a retreat in Langley. And before signing up for the retreat, I thought, oh, I'm going to see where the Springbrook Center is. It sounds really nice. And I went to their website and there was a photograph of a wooded path and a little bridge and a stream. Oh, it looks beautiful. I'm sure they'll be a great place to go for walks. So when we pulled off the highway and went along Springbrook Road and turned into the retreat center, I realized it was just a very tiny patch and there was nowhere to go for a walk. I had to go exploring into subdivisions and finally found a path through the woods. And for the first 3 days, I was in a rage. I was in a rage. How could they do this? Why did they choose a place where you can't even go for a decent walk? I was very identified with myself as someone who needs an attractive and beautiful surrounding. And is it really necessary? I mean, in Burma, people practice with loud speakers blaring music and construction noise, and we have ideal conditions. And even on the way to that one little walk through the woods, I had to go by a major highway and trucks going by. And I was furious. I was like, what? So it was actually a very rich opportunity to see the suffering from depending on specific conditions. And to see the delusion in the mind. And luckily I had driven with friends and I had no way of leaving. So there I was. There I was with my mind, with the rain, with all the circumstances that rubbed against my preferences. So when you feel that rub of your preferences, that friction between what you want and what is there, what a great opportunity. What a great opportunity. Oh, there's aversion, there's grasping, there's delusion. All three are right there. And to see them. This is the way it is. This is the way it is. What a gift, We may be joined this afternoon by my friend Will, who is, he's at the end of his life. He has metastatic bone cancer. And he was interviewed on CBC last fall about medical assistance in dying. And he's a beacon of light to everyone he encounters because of this tremendous openness and equanimity in the face of his accelerated approach to death. So, wisdom, that's what our practice is about. It's really about seeing the circumstances of our lives as an opportunity to nurture wisdom and cultivate this clear seeing. Wisdom is what will liberate us from this idea of me, mine, what I need, what I want. I was saying to Sandra and Rhonda that when I practice, my other ambitions seem to drop away. Fame and fortune. But then I know the day is over and my ambitions come flooding back. But to see that, there's wanting. And really, when I think about it, it's just wanting to be seen, wanting to be acknowledged. So the antidote to delusion is wisdom. And the byproduct of wisdom, happiness. Happiness is the byproduct of wisdom. Isn't that amazing? we think that acquisition leads to happiness, or our culture tends to give us that message. Welcome, dear ones. So wisdom is the antidote to delusion, and the byproduct of wisdom is happiness. And why is that? I mean, it doesn't seem like it would make sense. But really the answer is the spaciousness of understanding that is bearing fruit in our minds. This spaciousness that doesn't require a particular set of circumstances, a forest with quiet walks through the woods, a sunny day, or even good health. So there are five spiritual faculties that are at work when we meditate. And we've actually talked about each one of them in a particular way this morning. The first, of course, is sati, is mindfulness. Mindfulness is this remembering to recollect the present moment. This beautiful quality of mindfulness, which has now become somewhat commercialized, and I think it still is having benefit in the world, even in perhaps a watered-down form. But when we practice mindfulness, we are returning to the moment, and we are returning to our own potential to wake up, our own potential to see the world around us as our teacher, really, our teacher of impermanence, teaching us the conditioned nature of experience, teaching us that anything that is pleasant that we hold on to by its very nature is dukkha, because you can't hold on. You could only be with and attend to this unfolding journey. And that's the gift of mindfulness. That's the refuge of mindfulness. That we can turn towards our lives. Not necessarily arrange them the way we want them, but turn towards them. This is my life. This is aging. This is illness. This is grief. This is loss. This is sunshine. All of it is there to be met, to be welcomed. The second of the spiritual faculties is samadhi, is that collected mind concentration. And this comes about through continuity of practice. And I'm sure we've all experienced that gathering, that settling, that steadfast willingness to just be with the restlessness, the aches and pains, the doubt, the thoughts, the plans. But look at you, you're all here, you're still here. I said to one participant in the discussion, you could be at Starbucks having a latte, but you're not. You're here, and that's in itself evidence that you are tasting the value and the benefit of this practice. And there is tremendous joy in the collectedness of mind that comes, and we experience that when we practice an instrument, or engage in a physical sport, or we do art, or we write. There is a gatheredness that comes from really focusing and attending. So sati and samadhi. And then the next quality is virya, which is right effort. And it's, you know, again, this is the potential we each have to know ourselves and to know when we're overreaching, striving, forcing, pushing. So balance of effort. Sometimes it's wisdom to stand up and go for a walk. Sometimes it's wisdom and it's right effort to sit with discomfort and get to know it, and open to it. And I think it's fair to say that each of us has encountered challenging physical sensations. And sometimes wisdom says, I need to move. I need assistance with this pain. Perhaps I even need medication. Other times there's enough energy to just encounter it, to know it. In a sense, to befriend it and to befriend our minds, which shrink away from that experience. My dad, when he was dying, he was always trying to get comfortable. And, you know, a pillow here, something under his legs. And I felt for him. But I said, you know, Dad, you might just have to be uncomfortable for a while. I wish now I'd had more sympathy. But so virya, so this balance of effort, sati, samadhi, virya, balance of effort. And I think about how, you know, samadhi can be very seductive, that experience of the gathered mind. And it can lead to this kind of, I'm going to stay with this, I'm going to stay, I'm not going to move, I'm not going to move, I'm going to see where this takes me, who knows, maybe this is it. You know, there's a kind of momentum and excitement. Whoa, I'm really concentrated now. You know, and there, maybe there's some feelings of shimmering rapture and bliss in the body. But maybe wise effort would be to say, oh, the body actually needs to walk. The body needs to move. So the next quality in this list of five spiritual faculties is saddha. Saddha, this beautiful word, which means faith. And Sharon Salzberg writes about this. So saddha is the confidence that we have from what we've experienced. This confidence to continue. This confidence in the teachings. This confidence in ourselves. And confidence in the value of the practice. And we can offer our faith to others and let them see, you know, how the practice has manifested in our lives. But really, it is to be discovered for each of us through our own exploration, our own creative engagement with mindfulness. And then the last of the five spiritual faculties is panya, is wisdom. So these are all working together as we practice. They're present. And, you know, in a moment of mindfulness, beautiful qualities are present in the mind. Which means that the unbeautiful, those habits of grasping or fear, are not present. So even if fear arises, as soon as mindfulness sees it, that fear has no longer the same hold over the mind. Because this identification, this wedding of fear, and self is dissolved in the spaciousness of the mind that sees, fear is present, my old habit of anxiety, my old habit of worry. There's a softening. Jonathan used the word softening. It's a beautiful word. A softening of that grip. So let's do a little bit of chanting, and then we'll sit, and then I'm going to give you a Dharma talk. Give you a Dharma talk. Anyway, so if you feel moved, please join in. And we're going to do a call and response to save on paper. And if you feel moved just to listen, that's fine as well. So we're going to chant in Pali the refuges and the precepts. So we take refuge in the Buddha and in the Dhamma and the Sangha. And I'm going to speak about this in my talk. And we undertake these training precepts of non-harming. So we undertake to respect life, to only take that which is freely given, to be attentive to our sexual energies, and also to be very alert to our speech, and then to be aware of intoxicants that cloud the mind. And that, of course, can be interpreted very broadly. I mean, you could say that surfing the internet is a modern intoxicant. So if you feel moved, join with me. I will chant a couple of words and then invite you to chant back with me. Namo tassa, namo tassa, bhagavato, arahato, Samma Sambuddhassa,
Samma Sambuddhassa,
Namo Tassa,
Namo Tassa,
Bhagavato,
Bhagavato,
Arahato,
Arahato,
Samma Sambuddhassa,
Samma Sambuddhassa,
Namo Tassa,
Namo Tassa,
Bhagavato,
Arahato,
Samma Sambuddhassa,
Samma Sambuddhassa,
Buddhang Saranang,
Buddhang Saranang,
Gacchami,
Gacchami,
Dhammang Saranang,
Dhammang Saranang,
Gacchami,
Gacchami,
Sanghang Saranang, Gacchami,
Gacchami,
Dutiyampi,
Dutiyampi,
Buddhang Saranang,
Buddhang Saranang,
Gacchami,
Gacchami,
Dutiyampi,
Dutiyampi,
Dhammang Saranang,
Dhammang Saranang,
Gacchami,
Gacchami,
Dutiyampi,
Dutiyampi,
Sanghang Saranang,
Sanghang Saranang,
Gacchami,
Gacchami,
Tatiyampi,
Tatiyampi,
Buddhang Saranang,
Buddhang Saranang,
Gacchami,
Gacchami,
Tatiyampi,
Tatiyampi,
Dhammang Saranang, Gacchami,
Gacchami,
Tatiyampi,
Tatiyampi,
Sanghang Saranang,
Sanghang Saranang,
Gacchami,
Gacchami,
Panatipata,
Panatipata,
Weramani,
Weramani,
Sikapadang,
Sikapadang,
Samadhiyami.
Samadhiyami.
Adinadana.
Adinadana.
Weramani.
Weramani.
Sikapadam.
Sikapadam.
Samadhiyami.
Samadhiyami.
Kamesu.
Kamesu.
Michachara.
Michachara.
Weramani.
Weramani.
Sikapadam.
Sikapadam.
Samadhiyami.
Samadhiyami.
Musawada.
Musawada.
Weramani.
Weramani.
Sikapadam.
Sikapadam.
Samadhiyami.
Samadhiyami.
Sura.
Sura.
Meraya.
Meraya.
Magapala Nyanasa.
Weramani.
Weramani. Sikapadam.
Sikapadam.
Samadhiyami.
Samadhiyami.
Idam me silang.
Idam me silang.
Magapala Nyanasa.
Magapala Nyanasa.
Pachayo.
Pachayo.
Hotu. So please, once again, find your posture. Remembering each of these beautiful spiritual qualities, the five faculties, and how they support our practice. Sati, mindfulness. Samadhi, concentration. Virya, effort. Sada, confidence or faith. And Panya, wisdom. We can stabilize the attention. On a chosen object. using your own discernment. Is it more valuable to stay with one object, the movement of the breath, the arising and passing of sensation? Or is there enough steadiness of mind to simply notice what is appearing in the field of awareness? If the mind feels drowsy or scattered, wisdom might invite a more conscious application of mindfulness, noticing sensations associated with the sitting posture. Or moving between different touch points, from the sit bones to the feet to the hands, even to the lips lightly touching. soon as you notice you've become swept up in a story or train of thought, in that very moment of remembering, mindfulness is already present. last few minutes of this practice period, we can renew our intention to be continuous in our mindfulness. Allowing the momentum of all those previous moments of mindfulness to carry us. May our practice truly be of benefit to all beings, and may all beings know happiness and the causes of happiness.